Okay, we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the next episode of The Raiders Rambles. I am Avera, the Orange Doggo Bad, and joining me today is none other than Noble, our most esteemed and talented technical producer.
Morning, all. Okay, I'm done.
And next up, we have Stifer.
Stifior. And hello, everyone's Stifior. Favorite dead otter is back again. You'll get there one day, Vera.
Stifior. Oh, hello there. Anyway, next up is Orion.
Hey, it's everyone's weird space doggo here.
You're awesome.
In for another episode.
All right. And finally, we have, for the first time, the almighty Red Wolf.
Hey, guys. It's good to finally be here.
Yeah, nice to have you, man. So just introduce yourself a little bit. You know, any hobbies you're into, stuff like
well,
that.
Well, I actually am one of the two furs around here that actually know how to fix and restore traffic signals, you know, street lights, and then I'm also one of the rail furs.
Very nice. Okay. Well, shall we get into our first topic then? Yeah? No?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Noble, do you have the article?
Oh, sorry. Things dropped out for me. We're doing the Peter Pantsless thing?
Indeed, yes.
Okay. How do I enable this again? Oh, that's right. There we go.
All right, so Disney, this is the headline, guys. Disney to gender and race swap the Lost Boys in upcoming Peter Pan and Wendy movie. Yeah, of course they would.
Another live action movie.
But they already did Peter Pan live action.
Yeah, the thing is, though, they did actually. Do you know one thing which I don't get is the fact that, like, you know, what it's sort of like, you know, creating new IPs to make live action movies of. They're just rehashing the same old shit.
Well, right now, they're talking about doing a little bit more than that. Like, they're changing the entire character. Gender swap and race swap and all that nonsense. So, will the Lost Boys be called, like, the Lost People?
Well, I mean, if they're gender swapping it, they'd call it the Lost Girls, but they probably won't do that because that sounds a bit rapey.
Well, I wouldn't call it the Lost Girls because that assumes gender, and obviously we can't do that. You can't assume gender.
So the Lost Peoples.
The Lost Human Individuals.
The Lost Trigender Pybo Fox.
Yeah, right.
The homeless people on an island.
Just suck the fun out of everything. That's what they do.
Yeah, like, I have no clue what the heck they're going to call it, because I've watched everything else before, so, like, this is kind of like, what the heck's going on here?
Yeah, right? And what do you think, like, they're going to do to Peter Pan? Is Peter Pan going to be like...
it's more like Peter Panda, to be honest.
Petriora.
a totally different character? Like, what are they trying to do here?
Unless they're just going to replace Peter with Wendy, was it?
All right, well, let's read on with the article. Noble?
Is that where you want, or further down?
Yeah, this is good. Go ahead. So this was brought to our attention by YouTuber La Reina Creole, who wrote on Twitter, "I seriously just read on Dis Twitter about Disney looking for a person of color to play Hercules." Oh, wait, what? She also added, woke Disney is poo. Yikes. I'm not sure who this person is, but I agree. Yeah, woke Disney is absolutely poo.
The thing is, the one thing which I don't get is why doesn't it focus on the fact that they're, like, you know, looking for a person of color to play Hercules?
Yeah, but
because to be honest, that makes less sense than the like, you know, lost peoples or whatever.
It does, yeah. Especially because, you know, Hercules was a historical character who was, you know, Greek. And
yeah, he's Greek.
Yeah, Greek mythology, he's Greek. I think, right?
Yep, exactly. He's like half Titan or something like that, or half God.
So... Yeah, half God, that's it. Half God, half human, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. But like, so they shouldn't make him a person of color just because a person of color needs more representation. Like, no, that's not the story. That's not the character. And
yeah, do you know one thing I don't care? Why can't they, like, you know, make a movie based on, like, you know, African folklore and then have a person of color to play the lead role in that?
I mean, Lion King happened. That was cool. That's African folklore. Yeah.
Not the remake.
That doesn't count.
There was actually a movie before 2000 that I remember that it was called, what was it? The Wiz. I think it was called The Wiz, and it had, you know, all African Americans in it.
Oh, it was like, you know, The Wizard of Oz, but with...
Yeah. It was a good one.
That Rihanna person on Twitter actually brought up a really good point. They said, how are you going to call it The Lost Boys when you replace the boys with a bunch of girls? Like, are they the Lost girls now, I guess?
They're probably just going to be called The Lost Children.
Yeah. The Lost Children of Indiscriminate Race. Or something crazy like that.
Look, with the whole Greek mythology thing with Hercules, why not use someone from that region?
Yeah, I mean, that works. Okay. Well, you could do that. Sure.
Disney did sort of the right thing with the remake of Aladdin, where they used people from the actual Middle East. Wasn't it?
Well, except for Will Smith, who is African-American, born in the United States, and he's not Arabian at all.
As a genie, they're not supposed to be...
I sort of agree
with using Will Smith in that, but it's more the Sultan didn't sort of fit in. The only downside is they completely screwed up the entire storyline and just
I never watched that. Mainly because of, like, it didn't need making. It was just pointless. And the fact that nobody could fit in the role of the genie as good as Robin Williams.
No.
Yeah, rest in peace, Robin Williams.
No one could live up to him.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the thing,
Like, here's the thing that I'm noticing with Disney now. It seems like they're just remaking all the cartoon movies into real-life movies now. That's what their pattern is.
That's all they're doing, just to make more money off of the old stuff rather than try and make new stuff.
Yeah, because it's cheaper to,
To bank on ideas that were already
re-release it.
It's cheaper to... hold on to old licenses than to create new ones.
Yep.
Than to create new IPs.
Re-releasing movies, basically.
Basically, yeah. That's exactly what's happening here. Because, like, they were already successful. We all know how, you know, big Peter Pan was. And if they're going to, you know, revamp it and do some shit, then, yeah, of course, it's going to make money. But now, with the current political climate, of course, they're going to try to change it and make, the Lost Girls, or whatever the hell.
Yeah, it's like, when it comes to, live action, I remember, in the past, they have tried, movies which mix the cartoons with the live action.
Yeah.
Like,
It's Song so of the sad, South. Man.
No,
oh, no, no,
that
no.
I had to go there.
That is not what I was
Zippity
going to say. I was going to say.
my
Roger Rabbit.
Day.
No, yeah, no, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? That was a good one.
Yeah, yo. Back in the day,
I was all about, the movie, was it Bed Knobs and Broomsticks?
No, yeah, man, I really thought that the Lion King remake was going to be good. I really had some high hopes for that.
You really thought that?
I did, because Lion King is one of my favorite movies. I'm like, yeah, cool, a remake. Unfortunately, Avira, they didn't do it right. Yeah?
I went out myself and personally watched the redo of that stupid dog flick that they did.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
On the release of Disney Plus.
Oh, no.
And I'm only calling it that because the reboot that they live action, if they want to call it that, was horrible.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was basically just showing what to expect going forward. Anyway, back to the article at hand. If these rumored gender swaps are true, they specifically go against Barrow's original Peter Pan story. When Wendy asks Peter Pan about the Lost Boys, he tells her they are children who fall out of their parents when the nurse is looking the other way. If they are not claimed in 7 days, they are sent far away to Neverland. I'm Captain.
Yeah, fun fact, the whole, premise behind Peter Pan was to, was based around, I think it was a hospital in London, I think it was Great Ormond Street or something like that.
Yeah, and the dying kids would, wish to go to Neverland and be a kid forever and do all that. Yeah. That's all well and good. And the fact that they call them the Lost Boys, that's kind of just the slogan or the group. But, I mean, girls were in the group too, right? I'm pretty sure. Yeah, there was kids of whatever.
Yeah,
but just calling it the Lost Boys is kind of just Peter Pan's, thing.
Yeah, it's to the point that, J.M. Barrie gifted the rights to Peter Pan to Great Ormond Street.
So it continues with the conversation would continue with Peter telling Wendy, yes, but they're rather lonely, you see. Wendy, we have no female companionship. Then Wendy asks, are none of the other children girls? Peter responds, oh no, girls, are much too clever to fall out of their prams.
Yeah, but that's not true. He had girls in the group, and it was mostly boys, so I guess, that's what he calls it. How is this problematic to people?
Saying that girls are too smart to fall out of their prams, I'm sorry, what? That's not progressive?
No, that's sexist. That ain't progressive at all.
Girls can be just
about?
As stupid as everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually calling girls smart, and this is wrong. I mean, holy shit. Yes.
How dare you call women smarter than men? Just to call them dumber. Wait, what?
Oh, man, this is a good one. Well, here's a question. How many African people were in London around this time anyway?
Probably not.
There's probably a few dock workers.
Yeah, probably not many, so I don't know.
Well, you have to think, how old is Peter Pan? How old
not just
is
that,
story?
But the location as well is very important.
Oh, yeah, for sure, absolutely.
I mean, it's not like you want to turn around and have a island where the indigenous population have a darker skin and instead just have a bunch of Asian people there prancing around as the natives. I mean, that would just be completely confusing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you look at the picture that you're showing there, not long till that gets called racist.
The kid dressed as a bloody rabbit?
No, it's look at the face, mainly the face.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that. We've seen that on our past few podcasts of certain books getting pulled because of that.
Yeah. Anyways, like the, I think Peter Pan, like, you know, takes place in like the early 1900s.
Like, oh, yeah, so that would be like peak British Empire. Hell yeah.
With the way they're going, they should probably just completely revamp the whole story, call it, use like a very basic theme from the original Peter Pan.
Right, so the lost non-binaries.
I mean, you'd have to also
just to
change
include
the era.
Everyone.
If you were to do this, say, around the 2010 plus, that could make sense. But if they try to make the movie out as being back in like the 40s or the 20s, when was this based? Like the 20s, was it?
Yeah, I think it was like the late 20s, early 30s, something like that.
Yeah, you'll have to change the time and when the story takes place as well, because otherwise...
Yeah, I heard about like Peter Pan. Well, Peter Pan takes place in, like, you know, 1904, 1911.
Oh, wow. So even earlier. Damn.
Yes, Edwardian period.
My goodness. So now if they wanted to, like, redo it, they would have all of the lost non-binaries on their freaking iPhones and crap like that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yikes.
Cringe.
These reported changes to the Lost Boys also follows race swapping of Tinkerbell, Disney's officially announced back in March that Tinkerbell would be played by Yara who? I can't pronounce that last
Yahidi.
Name. Idea who that person is.
It's probably Yahidi or something.
I am not going to attempt to read that list of names.
I still don't get why, like, they can just use like an IP based on, African, folklore.
Seriously, what is wrong with doing that anyway? I mean, find new stories to bastardize, for Christ's sake. Don't just turn around and try to. This is lazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is quite.
You're
lazy.
Basically like ruining everyone's childhood. Yeah, that's what's happening. It's like, bro. Leave Peter Pan alone. Hell, leave Lion King alone. Like, don't try to redo classic stories and make them just cash grabs. Like, that's really what it is at this point.
Disney described the film in a press release stating, Peter Pan and Wendy is a timeless tale of a young girl who, defying her parents, wishes to attend boarding school. Mm-hmm. Travels with her two younger brothers to magical Netherland. There she meets the boy who refuses to grow up, a tiny fairy and an evil pirate captain. So they soon find themselves on a thrilling and dangerous adventure far, far away from their family and the comforts of their home. Why does the captain have to be fucking evil? Give him another goddamn reason to go after the damn kids. For instance, they could have stolen something of his other than his hand.
I mean, he is Captain Hook, though, and he's kind of like has like a vengeance because, you know, Peter Pan kind of like chopped his hand off. And then there's the whole alligator situation I'm not going to get into, but you know the story.
Yeah. Hook's the only one that's going to be a male in this one because he's evil. Can't portray females as evil.
It would have been quite funny if they had, like, Will Smith or something portray Captain Hook.
No, I'm pretty sure...
But the thing
like,
is, though, I don't think they're allowed to portray, like, you know, any African-Americans in a negative light anymore because they'd be accused of being a racist.
Oh, goodness. Oh, come on. Who cares about that nonsense?
The thing is, though, it's like it's the same company that edited out the character Finn from, like, their posters in China.
Yeah, that's spooky.
Call him the last LBGT. Ooh, Boombox. Who's Boombox?
Yep, we got a live comment here from Boombox.
Call him the lost LGBT. Yeah, right? That's probably what they're going
to
be going for.
Yeah, to be honest, I would have gone for the lost pronouns.
The lost Zim, whatever the crap. Sure.
Anyways, is it best to move on now so we don't stick to the one topic for too long?
Indeed. Yeah. Let us move on forward, shall we do?
Sorry. Technical problems again.
It's all good. That was a funny one.
We're having technical difficulties.
Okay. Next story. And I forgot to hit a certain button. And that button didn't work. That button works. Okay. I'm good. Wait. Who wants to read this one?
Yes. This one. Utterly ridiculous. Power Girl co-creator Jerry Conway wants to see manga creators taken to task for their rampant sexism and misogyny. What a ridiculousness.
Yeah, that's one thing I do find funny, is that a lot of these progressives who constantly complain about American imperialism are quite imperialistic themselves, because they try and push, like, you know, their values onto, like, foreign nations forcefully.
What? It kind of seems from this that they're just offended by large boobs, and they just don't like that.
Well, yeah, but like that, just leave manga how it is. They're just jealous that manga is so much more successful than Western comics.
Yeah, that industry died mainly because of the internet, and mainly because of the cringe that has come out in the last 20 years.
Yeah. All right, can we just read the story before we start poking at this particular topic?
So, the Western comic book industry has officially begun to turn its sights on the Japanese entertainment industry, as Power Girl co-creator Jerry Conway declared that he wants to see the manga industry take the task. On May 11th, presumably promoted by the recent situation surrounding J. Scott Campbell's response to a Tumblr artist's fixing of his work, Conway took to his Twitter to assert that while American comic book artists are taken deservedly to task regularly for outrageous sexist treatment of women, he rarely saw any commentary on the rampant sexism and misogyny of manga. And manga is incredibly popular with younger readers, Conway added, attempting to support his disingenuous argument with a tired "think of the children" mobile backing.
So basically, stereotypical moral persuader, like, you know, we should ban, or like, you know, take, like, you know, this medium to task because it's corrupting our children with bad thoughts.
Let's see what the article says. It says, as proof of his claim that manga was filled with rampant sexism and misogyny, the veteran comic book writer pointed to the cover of The Dungeon Builder. The Demon King's Labyrinth is a modern city. Okay. Fourth volume, which depicts the series' busty ancient elf monster, Aura, as her standard scantily clad outfit. So, this person is offended that she looks attractive. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole freaking goal of, like, what they're trying to do. He's like, oh, how dare she be so busty and, you know, appealing to men, or anyone, really. It's just misogynistic somehow. How is that misogynistic? I mean, what the fuck? How? How, though? I don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. They always battle between it. Oh, we want females represented more. Do this, or stop showing males everywhere. Show more females. More females. No, you can't show females like that. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Make your mind up.
They can't well, seem to make up on. Their minds.
Yeah, right? What says, In a follow-up tweet, Conway continued, not to mention manga's rampant sexualization of teen and preteen young women. Well, that's not true in this case, but okay. In media that in America is mostly popular among younger readers. Okay? Do we ignore this because we're afraid to criticize non-Western cultural people? He asked. Wait, what? No one's questioning this. No one's fucking asking. We don't care.
Why are they putting out a useless question?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, as I said, I was going on about, like, you know, the whole cultural imperialism aspect.
This has nothing to do with imperialism. It's a freaking comic book.
What about, like, you know, they're trying to force American cultural values on the cultural values of Japan. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like they often criticize America throughout history for doing such a thing, but they themselves push it also.
Well, this is just silly. And then you have idiots like, you know, people that write articles like this. Is manga sexist? Like, bitch, get the fuck out of here. Come on.
Yes, it's because basically that a lot of it's written by the female equivalent of an incel.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I mean, I'm going to put my money down right now and say the next thing that's going to come out against manga is, it's body shaming because it's not realistic standards.
I kind of want to cover a bit more of this before I make some comments that I'm sort of itching to blurt out.
So there's no way around it. The arguments made in Conway's tweet are disingenuous at best, outright lies at worst. First off, his claim that sexualized depictions of female characters are inherently sexist and misogynistic is an outright lie, and ironically, a misogynistic one. Given the mere existence of the large number of female artists who enjoy drawing sexy characters, such as digital artists, Sakami-chan or Bayonetta designer, Maria... Yeah. Shimizaki.
Yeah.
Yet more egregious, his claim that he has egregious. Only... I thought I said egregious. I don't know what I said. Is only rarely seen criticism of manga being sexist, as the only way this could be true is if he was either only getting his anime and manga news from straightforward news-only trade outlets, or he was outright blind. As anyone who has engaged with any one of the number of communities surrounding the medium for more than 15 minutes on social media knows, both anime and manga depictions of women are a favorite target of commentary from critical social justice and race theories.
Yeah.
Okay,
look,
just
man,
stopping
I,
it there.
I don't see anything sexist about this at all. I really don't. It's just, this is Japanese culture, you know, it's a manga. And if people are like, oh, well, like here, I guess, you know, SJWs get all like offended over some nonsensical bullshit, so.
Okay.
But there's nothing inherently misogynistic about it at all.
I have to throw something back at this. So they're assuming that only women are drawn like this.
Oh, that's
men
a good point.
Yeah. Are drawn sexy.
Yeah.
When I was
have
a
you,
kid.
Have you seen manga characters of men? Sorry, go on.
When I was a kid, I got a hold of a VHS copy of Pokemon. I sat down with my sister and we watched it. The second James from Team Rocket came on, her eyes almost popped out of her head and she leaned towards the TV screen. My sister then spent the next like 5 years with an utter crush on James, considering the amount of times she had taken pictures of him, printed him out, cut out those pictures, and then stuck them to a wall.
I mean, I wouldn't blame her because James is pretty cute. Not gonna lie, but whoa,
I mean, James is a bit
Stop
out there.
Judging.
I mean, I don't know if you've seen the episode, but sometimes he has a proper rack on him.
So the idea that it's only...
Oh, yeah, that episode was actually banned in the UK, by the way.
It's banned everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, where are we on?
Holy bonkers.
For example, in 2019, the self-righteous fans of My Hero Academia took an issue with how the anime adaptation description of... I'm not going to pronounce that because I am too...
La Girado.
Featured a more defined bust than her manga counterpart, criticizing this change on grounds of ranging from misogyny and pedophilia.
No, I don't. Yeah.
Can't say the P word out loud on YouTube.
No, unfortunately, we no.
Sorry.
YouTube is kind of sensitive about that shit.
Yeah.
In fact, one fan felt so self-righteous in their anger towards Studio Bones' apparently misogyny crimes against the fictional character that they call upon their Twitter followers to hunt Studio Bones down and...
Oh, Jesus.
Highlight the location of their headquarters. It's featured on their... Holy shit, that's going overboard.
That's spooky. That is
spooky. You do not do that.
Yeah, by the way, that's the reason why manga studios in Japan have told manga artists not to engage with these people at all on Twitter, just to block them.
They're crazy.
Yeah, and I think it's getting to the point where they're actually considering having block lists of SJWs.
Dude, how much of an incel do you have to be offended by large boobs on a character?
It's not incels, it's femcels, as I'd say.
It's not like they taught us all this when we were little anyways.
No, right, exactly. Like, this is just stupid. Oh, my God.
Yeah, everything these days, they're just finding everything to be offensive these days.
Just 15 days later, I'm not going to try to pronounce that.
Shonen Jump series. You
and the Haunted Hot Springs was chased on social media by Western critics for a quote pinup of a series of his own characters featured in the manga series of 48 issues of that year. According to the mob, the incident of the pinup in the magazine was not only absolutely disgusting and traumatic to child abuse, but in the words of one particular critic, reason to celebrate the fact that Japan's population is declining.
Who is celebrating the fact?
That's lowball.
Yeah, right? Who is excited about... Oh, goodness. Alright, so in mid-2020, the premiere of the anime adaptation of Uzaki-chan saw a worrying number of social media users accuse the highly stylized depiction of the series' titular main character saw a worrying amount of social media users accuse everyone! From the series creator to fans of the series of the bad, naughty P word. I see.
It's like stuff like that. It's like people do not realize that age of consent is different everywhere, and I'm pretty sure in Japan it is a lot lower than it is in most places.
Yeah, but they've.
Yeah, but that's not the point, though, because these are just fictional characters that are drawn
in an anime
series. Like, it's not
but
even,
not only
like,
is it fictional characters, it's also usual for Japan.
Like,
so,
here's the thing, like, what's so offensive about something that's actually fictional to begin with?
I think they're kind of reaching really far, because, like, there's no evidence of the naughty P-word in these things. It's just anime characters, and they're just offended by, you know, literally everything. So
yeah,
agreed. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with what I'm seeing in this article. Like there's no porn. There's no nothing crazy like that. Like nothing's going on really.
Most of the people who are making these comments tend to forget the fact that this content isn't being created originally for the Western audience. It's being created for a foreign, wonderful, magical off-land place called bloody Japan.
Mm.
Understand their bloody cultural norms and then watch this shit. You might actually understand why it's been made like this. It wasn't made for you. It was converted so you could actually understand what's being said.
Yeah. So that's another thing that annoys about that, is they keep saying, oh, we've got to rally against Japan's culture, we've got to stop Japan being like this. Imagine if they said, oh, no, Africa culture can't be like that. That would be utter outlaw.
Why are these bloody racists turning around and chucking a complete wobbly about shit that they don't even comprehend?
Probably just for the attention.
Like, oh, because they want attention. To virtue signal and want to feel better about themselves by calling everything misogynist and patriarchy and all that stupid bullshit. Yeah. Yep. They don't really care.
People can't.
Like, who does? No one actually is offended by this. Like, if you are actually offended by big boobs in manga, then you have a fucking problem.
If I don't want to watch big boobs in manga, I generally don't watch manga or anime with big breasts in it.
Me neither. Me neither.
I mean, if you're absolutely
the thing is, like, people that see it... No, but I'm saying, like, you know, the people that see that and they have a problem with it and they have to write a whole freaking article, like, that's kind of lame. Like, get a life.
How much more is left in this? Well, I have to admit, the article writer of this definitely... did their research.
Mm,
yeah.
They're definitely opinionated. Sort of leaves me a bit on a 50-50 mark.
Yeah. So, I can't tell if they're trying to side with him saying that, oh yeah, this is what it is, or they're just trying to report on it.
Well, they're trying to report on it, but they see the comments made by the people who are calling this the... bad stuff as being ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know some writers, they want to keep things neutral.
No, very few writers are trying to keep things neutral these days.
Yeah, that's
Should we
true.
Finish off this article or just jump onto the next one?
I think we're good with this. Okay. Any comments?
Well, I think I've said my piece with all that.
I had my freak out, so yeah.
No, I meant like a live chat.
Oh.
Any questions, concerns, whatever? From Deutsch Dog. Or Deutsch Dog? Yeah. America now has lost the plot since Creepy Joe. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Oh my god, yes, agreed.
Yeah, the thing is, though, I honestly think America lost the plot in 2001. It's just snowballed since then.
Yeah. From Ice Coon, we have, in the American release, they raised the age of the character to 18. Okay, yeah, so all the characters are 18.
Yeah, sure. I can see why, because they don't want to get into that bad part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Much.
Okay.
All right. The next topic. I'm just gonna put this on.
Mm-hmm. So. For you guys who don't know, Cool Cat has been around for a while. He's pretty cool. He does a lot of PSA messages, and recently, the other day, he released the Cool Cat Fights the Coronavirus. Hell yeah! So this guy is actually not a furry, despite his appearance. And for those of you who are listening on other platforms, he has a full-blown fucking fursuit.
I was going to say, I assumed it was a furry, because you seem a bit obsessed with him.
I do like him a lot, because he's just so bonkers, like, legit. But he's not actually a furry. But if he showed up at a FurCon, I would not even bat an eye. I'd be like, yep, okay, that's a fursuit, for sure. Anyways, he's a... Don't call me Dirty Dog! Dog. No, not you. Bro, I'm a doggo too. Trust me, I get it. I ain't no Dirty Dog.
That's doggophobic.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, so Cool Cat has been sending a lot of PSAs about, you know, anti-drug, anti-bullying. He's really about that for a while, and this is one of his newest videos. I don't think we can play this on the stream right now.
No, I don't think.
No, you can usually only play like little clips and stuff, but you will not be able to show the full thing.
Mainly because of copyright issues.
Of course. Well, I'll just give you the rundown. So basically, Cool Cat wants to fight the coronavirus, and you know, he goes to in the beginning, he goes to this guy Derek, who's, you know, sitting at his desk and on his computer. He's like, "Hey, man, I'm gonna go boogie. I'm gonna go outside." And then, all of a sudden, Dirty Dog shows up and starts bullying a Cool Cat and his friends, who were like, you know, kids or something. And then he goes into a rap about how bad the virus is and how we should get vaccinated and wear our masks and stuff to fight the virus.
And how cringy his rap is.
Oh, it's so cringy. He doesn't even rhyme. Like, not even a little bit.
I'm questioning why this hasn't, gone away yet. This is still a thing. Not the whole corona.
Bro, thing, but I'm questioning why this isn't Cool Cat viral yet. Yeah, because this is like a golden freaking gem in the rough. Like, I cannot imagine why this isn't going all over the damn place. It's so funny. I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but
probably not going to be long till the video gets taken down. Because YouTube don't like that magic word of the actual virus itself. They seem to be censoring people saying that, or even pandemic.
The actual virus is SARS.
Well, I just like calling it the Wuhan flu. I mean, that's kind of accurate.
Saying the coronavirus is like turning around and saying, "A vehicle hit my friend!" It's like, okay, so what kind of vehicle was it? It was a vehicle!
Right. But damn, like, this guy went all in. My goodness, he had a whole freaking song, and even Dirty Dog had a rap about how he wants to, like, cough on people. He actually said that, like, in the video.
I'm a goofing.
Yeah, he's like, "I'm gonna cough on you." I'm like, what the crap? Dude, what? Like,
there are other things you can spread to other peoples by simply coughing on them.
Oh, yeah, I know, but the fact that this happened in this video is really hilarious.
I mean, like, why isn't this guy popular?
Because it's terrible.
But it's terrible in, like, the best kind of way, though.
Yeah, it's you like, know? It's like a, how do I put this? It's like a funny, hilarious, terrible.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you're on the road and there's a car crash, like, you have to slow down and look at it. It's kind of like that. Like, oh, I know this is terrible, but I kind of want to see it. Right? maybe that sounded a little bit too mean. I don't know. Live comment from Ice Kitsune says, "Thing is, that Cool Cat is basically pro-mask, so they wouldn't get taken down." Yeah, that's true. That's
yeah,
very true.
You know, that's the thing is, around, you know, with the mask mandates around, you know, the whole world, it seems, right now, you know, you gotta protect yourself from this stuff right now.
Yeah.
Well, so really, the masks don't even protect you from it. They protect others from you, because they catch it as it's coming out of your mouth, which is what people fail to realize.
But yeah, but if everyone wears a mask, then nobody else will get infected. See, that's the thing. Yep.
Well, I mean, there's still the chance of it spreading. Because it's not 100% effective rate. But
it would be like more
significantly less than that.
Anyway, should we move on to the next subject?
Sure.
Yeah.
I just have to say, Cool Cat, if you're watching this, you are freaking awesome. All right? I really hope you're going to be on our show one day.
Oh, thank God you didn't go.
I would like to meet this guy.
I would love to. Man, I really do.
I bet you would, Avera.
Avera, maybe that's something you should look at doing.
Oh, it is. Trust me. All right. Yeah. All right.
Amazon Studio Chief Jennifer Stalk Stakey? Yeah. Says Lord of the Rings TV series needs a giant global audience.
Oh, so this is the Lord of the Rings series that they're talking about. I believe it's the Second Age, right? Oh no, or this is like early Aragorn storyline, right? Like mid Third Age type of stuff.
Amazon Studios head Jennifer, I'm not going to pronounce the last name because I can't.
Suck.
Recently discussed the upcoming Lord of the Rings TV series and the show's rumored first budget. In a Zoom call with the Hollywood Reporter, Lancey Rose, that said Salk was asked about the show's first season budget and the reports claiming it sits at $465 million. Specifically, she was asked, what does the price tag say about the market today and how well will it need to do to justify that price tag? Stalky responded, the market is crazy. As you saw with the Knives Out deal, this is a full season of a huge world-building show. The number of sexy headlines or crazy headlines that's fun to click on, but that is really building the infrastructure of what will... I've lost it.
Yeah, but basically it's a case of, like, you know, they have went way over budget of this.
Well, and, I think so, yeah. With sexy headlines, yeah.
I have doubts that they'll be able to make their money back.
Yeah, because
$465 million, though, that's a lot.
Like, here's the thing, though. Why already go off the movie series if you already have the Lord of the Rings, and then, of course, they also had the Hobbit series? So, I mean, why create a TV show based off of that when you already had enough movies?
Well, because it's another cash grab. You know, that's why Disney is remaking all of their previous movies, because it worked. And so now Netflix is like, well, we can totally bank on a new Lord of the Rings series because, you know, people like that. It makes money. It made us billions. Let's do that. But I think the series does have really good potential, because there's a lot of, you know, of the lore in the history of Middle-earth, like how it could be implemented in a series. So I think if you have good writers, good actors, good production, yeah, you could do that. And $465 million, I mean, that's the budget of, like, what, three or four movies? I mean, damn, that's a
lot.
Let's
just hope they don't hire anyone from Disney or Marvel. Well, at least more recent Marvel.
No,
or Doctor Who, for instance. Salky then addressed how Amazon will justify the price tag. As for how many people need to watch Lord of the Rings, a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
Comes off as a little cocky, though. They're like, ha ha, of course they will buy it.
A giant global audience needs to show up to it as appropriate television, appointment television, and how we are pretty confident that will happen, she added. It will be interesting to see how the show will appear to the global audience if it stays true to Tolkien's vision. In a letter numbered 142 to Father Robert Murray, Tolkien described the Lord of the Rings as a Catholic work. He wrote, Lord of the Rings is, of course, fundamentally religious and Catholic work. Brain fart.
Unconsciously so at first, but consciously in the revision. So it seems like from what they're saying is they recognize the historical roots of it and the whole vision of Tolkien to begin with. Now, with Lord of the Rings, it was based on religion, you know, the fight against, you know, good versus evil, that kind of stuff, you know, theological. And then it goes on to say, this is why I have not put in or have cut out practically all references to anything like religion or cults or practices in the imaginary world. For the religious element is absorbed into the story and the symbolism. And that's totally true. That's exactly what Tolkien's vision really was. Because there are gods and angels and demons and stuff like that in The Lord of the Rings. It's not necessarily like fundamentally Christian, but there is that whole good versus evil element of it that kind of reflects Abrahamic religions, which...
Yeah, there is, like, you know, some video game franchises which, like, you know, yeah, make references to, you know, like, biblical sort of mythology. Like, for example, the Halo franchise is notable for having, like, you know, many references to, like, you know, Christian, like, you know, beliefs and Abrahamic religions.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Good point.
Just so I can understand this, are they actually stating that they're going to include the source material's references, original, like, basis and storyline, instead of trying to modernize it and make it woke?
Yeah, that's what it seems like, because it's going to be very difficult to try to modernize it, because Middle Earth kind of takes place in, like, a pre-industrial revolution, kind of like a Middle Ages sort of, you know, swords and shields type of world. So, it's going to be hard to modernize it.
What would be fascinating is if they actually keep with the original sort of storyline, convert it to media and don't change it. At which point, if it's successful, people are going to completely lose their shit.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yes, I actually am kind of like wanting to see this, actually, to see if it's any good.
Yeah, the thing is, like, all I'm saying is that they've got a steep mountain to climb to, like, you know, break even on this.
So I'm assuming there's already a lot of like cartoons and comics and comics and books on other aspects of Lord of the Rings sort of franchise, or
Tolkien.
So they could literally just simply take a book and convert it into a movie or into the TV show.
It was successful with the Harry Potter series.
Oh, for sure, dude. That was so successful.
Yes.
But, and with the one book, The Hobbit, they made three movies out of it. And it made billions. Literally
it was
billions.
Good, though. The movies were actually good.
They were,
had one book.
Speaking of Lord of the Rings movies, has anyone ever seen the animated movies?
Yes, I have.
I've never even seen the normal movies.
Oh my good, dude. You have to watch The Hobbit. Animated movie. Do you know how many times they play that song? The greatest adventure is what lies ahead. Or, like, whatever the hell it is. Do you know how many times they played that song in, like, 80 minutes? 11 times. I counted. Jesus. It was crazy. But
gee,
it's
how
a
many
great
times
movie.
Have you watched it over and over?
Okay, no, not that many. It was like a bet, like, me and my friends. We were like, okay, we're going to watch the animated Hobbit movie. How many times did they play this one song? Because, like, we've heard about it, you know? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to guess 8. And he said, I'm going to guess 7. So we were pretty close. But they played it 11 times.
Can make a drinking game out of that.
Oh, God, 11 shots? No, I'd die. Are you kidding me? No.
Hey, I've done the Star Wars every time you hear the word force.
Force,
yeah. You, okay, like, so, going through that and drink shot take it.
So this
that
comment
sounds
is
like another death sentence.
If this comment is true, the question is, do you want to make money or do you want to lose money?
Oh, good point.
Just because it's out of copyright, it still leads to the question of, as a franchise, do you want it to make money or do you want it to lose money?
Well, the fact that they're putting in almost $500 million, $465 million into this show, I assume that they probably think they're going to make a lot of money off this, right? Like, they have to at least double their profits, probably.
Well, I think that's why they even said, like, oh, we need everyone to watch it, because I think they're a bit scared that they're not going to make it back.
They don't need to have everyone watch it, but releasing it internationally will increase the audience number, not to mention you could also have, like, the shit they'll sell, like toys and clothes and other merchandise.
I know, but here's the thing, though, that I've seen before in the past where they've actually made TV shows out of movies and the TV show completely failed.
They totally flop. Yeah, dude, I've seen the same thing. Like,
history could repeat itself.
Yeah, remember what happened, like, with Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Like, that movie was total shit, but the actual series was fire. Like, it was awesome.
Lit.
Did you ever watch Angel?
Yeah, hell yeah, I watched Angel. Absolutely. That was cool. Not as good as Buffy, but it's a close second. But yeah, I hope they do that. The thing is, I'm just kind of concerned, like, you know, like with the actors that they're going to have in this show, because, you know, Christopher Lee unfortunately passed away. You know, we're not going to have Saruman, like the Saruman, you know. So there's that. And who was the actor that played Gandalf? I don't think he's going to be in that show. Or Viggo Mortensen, the guy who played Aragorn. I think that's what they're going for. They're going for, like, Aragorn's story, so they might have to, like...
Gandalf was Ian McKellen.
Get a different actor.
Even
yes. Ian McKellen, yeah. Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Should we get back to this, or...?
Oh, yes. Let us. Where were you?
Tolkien then wrote, however, that is very clumsy... I'm not awake this morning.
It's okay. Tolkien then wrote, however, that is very clumsily put and sounds more self-important than I feel. For, as a matter of fact, I have consciously planned very little and should chiefly be grateful for having been brought up since I was 8 in a faith that has nourished me and taught me all the little that I know, and that I owe to my mother, who I clung... Okay, so basically he's talking about how his religion shaped his ideology. Right, makes sense.
Ooh, dragon.
Yes, Maul.
Yes.
Sokka's comments come less than 6 months after the show's showrunners, J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay, also intimidated, okay, I thought that was a different word, intimidated that they would attempt to appeal to a global audience, through their international casting, okay, so they're trying to get, actors from different places in the world. Okay, cool. They released a statement back in December that read, "The world that J.R.R. Tolkien created is epic, diverse, and filled with heart. These extraordinarily talented performers hailing from across the globe represent the culmination of a multi-year search to find brilliant and unique artists to bring that world to life anew." Oh, cool. And I think this is the last bit of it. The international cast of Amazon's The Lord of the Rings is more than just an assembly. It's a family. We're thrilled to welcome each of them to Middle-earth. Their statement concluded. Aw, isn't that nice, guys? Everything's all diverse and progressive and adorable and la-di-da.
Yeah.
The show is planned for at least 5 seasons with 8 to 10 episodes per season. The official description reads, Amazon Studios' forthcoming brings to the screen for the very first time the heroic legends of the fable Second Age of Middle-earth history. This epic drama is set thousands of years before the event of J.J.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, and will take viewers back to an era in which great powers were forged, kingdoms rose to glory and fell to ruin, and like the heroes were tested, hoping hope hung by the finest of threads, and the greatest villains ever frowned the Tolkien's pen through. I lost it.
And the greatest villain that ever flowed from Tolkien's pen threat. Wait. Oh, I lost it too. Shit.
Threatened to cover the world in darkness, it continues.
Right. Okay. Why do they have to cut it off like that?
Formatting sucks.
Yeah, right.
It then reads, the beginning in a time of relative peace, the series follows an assembled cast of characters, both familiar and new, as they confront the long-feared re-emergence of evil to Middle-earth.
Oh, so they're talking about the Second Age of Middle-earth, like when the Witch King was in Angmar and he was trying to destroy Arnor. For those of you who are not as nerdy as I am, it's just part of the lore. Like, it's cool, man. As the synopsis ends, it reveals a number of locations where the show will take place, from the darkest depths of the Misty Mountains to the majestic forests of the elf capital of Lindon, to the breathtaking island kingdom of Numenor, to the farthest reaches of the map. These kingdoms and characters will carve out legacies that live long after they are gone. Ooh.
Dramatic suspense.
Yes. So,
okay,
exactly.
So it really does sound like they've turned around and they want to basically dig deep into the lore and history.
Yeah, man.
Instead of turning around and creating the social justice version of bastardization of the movie. Oh, God.
Exactly. Yeah, sometimes if you actually dig deeper into the roots of something, it'll actually somehow become more popular.
Exactly. And if you don't inject your bullshit lefty politics into things, then hey, maybe if you don't get woke, you're not going to get broke.
Don't Star Wars it up.
Until you find out it's not inclusive enough, so let's make Gandalf a female this time.
Oh, don't stop it. No! Oh!
Hey.
This doesn't sound right.
Because this is based in history of Lord of the Rings, why not have Gandalf's mother?
No, because Gandalf is basically a divine being that became an old man. We all know this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, he's basically a freaking god.
I watched the movie and sort of glazed over because it took so long to watch.
Well, Gandalf is one of the 5 Istari, which is like the wizards. They're basically Maiar, and Maiar is like an angelic being. Kind of like Sauron and the Balrog. Like, they're the same kind of creature. They have like untold, ridiculous, crazy power.
Hmm.
But, man, if they made Gandalf a woman, I would just give up on life at that point.
Hey, what about what the mask and Bugs Bunny did?
Oh, no.
But that's only cross-dressing, so I don't know if that counts.
I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, Bugs Bunny's been cross-dressing since, like, the 1940s, you know?
It's worked out every time.
Yeah, it
so
has.
That's where if he ever got his personality from.
Yeah. How many times has Elmer Fudd been like, how many times has he gushed over female bugs? I mean, let's get real.
Or just over any females, like, you know, the Looney Tunes Back in Action movie. I don't know if you remember that part with the paintings.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, my goodness. Damn. Anyways, guys, I think that's about a wrap for tonight. Any other live comments or questions, anything?
How about this one?
Alright, from Ice Kitsune, Bugs Bunny gets to get away with cross-dressing, but James gets the crap.
Yep.
End of the stick. Yeah, that's true.
Yes,
yeah, that's
right?
True.
Fortunately.
That's so true.
The bun did because they were jealous James had a bigger rack.
And from Deutsch Dog, do you know what he meant by the follows of the ring? I do, and it's not for here. Follows of the ring. No, I'm not sure what you're talking about exactly.
I think he's probably on about a porn parody or something.
Oh, God. I hope
not. Oh, no.
Let's not get into that. Anyways, guys, I think this is just about it. Let's do our outros. Stifer. Stifio.
Yeah. Well, yeah. For me, I think the main thing is people just seriously need to pull their head out of their ass and stop attacking Japan over stupid shit. Leave manga the way it is, leave anime the way it is. Grow the fuck up.
Well said. Orion.
Yeah, I'm pretty much saying that, like, you know, do not try and judge Japanese culture by American standards.
Very good. And the mighty Red Wolf. Any final comments?
I mean, like, honestly, like, you know, sometimes going backwards or, like, swapping genders never works out. I mean, sometimes if you dig down to its normal roots, like, you know, it's like its deep, deep roots where it originally came from, then it might actually work out.
All right. Well put. And I guess for me, I'll say, guys, be like Cool Cat. Just be cool. Everything's all well and good. All right? Believe in yourself. And Noble, if you want to head us out.
So, with everything, when you look at a subject or something is happening, you need to ask context. You need to ask, what's happening? Why is it happening? What's the backstory? Don't just turn around and go, holy shit, that's wrong. It has to go. Anyway, just so everyone knows that our episodes are available on Podbeam, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, BitChute, and whatever else decides to stick its head out of the pond in the next couple of years.
All right. Well, I hope everyone has a great night. And this is us signing off.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.